It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to remind everyone today that we are now brought to you by Strivus Wealth Partners. We are operating the show as Van Wee Financial, but Strivus, S-T-R-I-V-U-S, is the parent company. And if you look them up online, that's the easiest way. Other things will get you there too, but that's if you want to go direct. I was just perusing yesterday the new website, going over all the details, and it looks very nice.
Yeah, I think it came out really well. If you go to Van Wee Financial, it'll automatically forward you to our new website, which is StrivusWealth.com. So either way you get there, it could get to the same place.
A little different scheduling procedure that's a little more streamlined, I gather.
Yeah, we just switched companies. It looked a little nicer. It embedded in our website better. It's just a little bit nicer.
Yeah, everything's there. If you ever miss a show, you can go there and catch the podcast afterwards, which has the added feature of not having commercials in it by the time we get it up there. But that is not an excuse not to listen live.
And we have another podcast now as well, and that has so far, I think, 6 or 9 episodes up. We're recording another one on Tuesday, and check that one out. That one's a little more. This is obviously a radio show that we put out as a podcast, but this podcast is more of a podcast format, pre-recorded, edited, slicker, nicer, more podcast oriented.
And what name would you look it up?
That is Wealth Unplugged.
Okay. Unplugged. Acoustic wealth.
Something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, to our longtime old friends, welcome back. We're always happy to see return. I was just discussing with Adam the fact that next week is our last show of our 10th year.
Wow.
And starting in February, we go into year 11. Isn't that amazing? It's also the first show of the new era in Washington, D.C.
So true.
That's something to commemorate also.
Yeah. Monday is there's no shortage of things happening on Monday.
There hasn't been a shortage of anything happening for quite a while, but Monday's going to take the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
MLK Day and the second Trump inauguration, that alone, that's a big plate full.
But then, to top it off, you get the college football national championship.
Yeah, Monday night.
So, what a day.
Well, if you're not invited to the inaugural ball, just take solace in the fact that all of us real people will be watching the national championship.
Yeah, that's what I'll be watching, not the inauguration.
A lot more interesting, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And anyway, if you're new to the show, whether somebody told you about it, or you found us by accident, left your radio on, whatever it is, stick around for the whole hour if you can. You will always learn something. Of all the promises that we make, which aren't very many, we will promise you that if you stick around for the hour, you'll pick up something that is new to you. Whether or not you actually find it helpful is irrelevant, because a lot of people find the things they learn relevant. And if you happen to know a whole bunch, at least we'll try to do it in an entertaining and amusing fashion. And we're seriously contemplating keeping the show free for another year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. It depends how the market goes. And you all know from years and years of listening to my introductions that sometimes I banter on forever, like I really don't want to talk about the market very much, so I find other topics. This week, I'm going to break that, except for, of course, the long introduction, and say, that was fun. Adam will tell you about it.
It was. It was a really welcome relief from the sort of negativity we've seen over the last few weeks. Just market's been in a foul mood, and then this week, everything kind of turned around.
You could see it from the early morning futures.
Yeah.
That were way different than they had been running for
definitely
a long time.
We'd been seeing a lot of red. And then every morning when we checked this week, you were seeing a little bit more green. And from a technical perspective, we saw some really small breakouts from recent downtrends. That happened on the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the S&P equal weight. It wasn't a resounding, yes, we're out of this, but I guess the platform has been set for that to happen should next week go well. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens on Tuesday. I think if I was a betting man, I would bet that it goes up, but I am not. So
me too. I think the the old buy the rumor, sell the fact thing with the election. This was the best week since the election.
Yes.
And you know the run-up to the election was based on optimism. So once the thing happened and everybody let down, the market kind of had a letdown too. And now as we're honing in on the actual event, I agree with you. I think the market's going to wake up Tuesday morning in a much better mood than it's been lately.
Yeah, I think so. And some of what I like the fact that we saw it wasn't just the U.S. that had a good week. It was pretty much global. And we saw the Stoxx 600 in Europe had a major breakout this week. I mean, major. So that
and the eyes have it over there. Italy and Israel.
Oh, yeah. Israel.
They blew the top off of everything.
Israel was the best performing market in the world that I could find.
I could hear the sigh of relief from over here.
Yeah, the ceasefire with Hamas obviously was driving that. The biggest gains, though, this week were in small and mid-cap stocks, which were up more than 4%, domestically at least. The Dow was up 3.7%, the S&P 2.9%, and the NASDAQ was up 2.4%. So all around really solid week. The weakest performing sector of the S&P this week was healthcare, and even that was up 0.4%. There were three sectors that gained over 6%, including energy, financials, and materials. Every other sector was up more than 1%. Pretty crazy. Commodities also had a good week. They gained 1.4%. Natural gas was off slightly, but is now up more than 46% since the election.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Oil was up over 2% this week. Even bonds got in on the party, and interest rates fell a bit. The 10-year went from 4.8% down to 4.6%. This drove the bond market up about 1%, and longer treasuries were up more than 2%. So all in all, not much went wrong this week. International stocks, as I mentioned, also rallied. The Israeli market was up 6.8%. The worst performing market was India, and that was off less than 0.1%. One of the worst performing markets this year has been Brazil, which is down over 12%, but it rallied 3.8% this week. So that reversed a recent trend. The All World Index was up 2%, while emerging markets were up 2.5%. I'm not saying that this is what caused the turnaround in stocks, but investor sentiment got much more bearish over the last few weeks.
It's incredible right now.
Yeah, bearish sentiment crossed over 40% and bullish sentiment got down to 25%. So the spread between those two hasn't been this extreme in over a year.
If history repeats itself, there's going to be an awful lot of people out there on the bear side who are going to be very disappointed rather quickly.
Yeah, actually, looking at the data, it's not always it's usually a good sign when this happens.
Exactly. But
this one, when the S&P is near an all-time high and this happens, it's not always the best news.
No, that's true. There's a lot of weakness that follows a time like that historically, but nothing bad.
No, it wasn't awful.
Yeah, we're not headed for anything bad based on any of the things that are happening right now. All right, we're going to take our first little break, and we'll come back with a trivia question as usual. Don't go anywhere. This is the Banwe Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banwe Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banwe.
And I'm Adam Banwe.
And we do have, as usual, a trivia question sponsored by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. We're going to talk a little bit about inflation because that was part of what was driving the market today. And a lot of you know that the inflation rate has been pretty bad lately, but it's been bad in the past. And if you're of a certain age, you probably remember some times that were pretty unbearable. But we got through those, only to have a little recurrence lately. I want to know which president, since I was born, which I will give you a little hint there, it includes Eisenhower and everybody thereafter. What president had the fourth worst inflation rate record during his stint in office? And you can count them down if you want to and just take a guess, or you can try to figure it out. And it always has a point. You know, everything I do always has a point. And the point this week is one of my first questions to Adam. Did you think that the inflation numbers deserved the accolades they got? And that's kind of a mixed bag, but largely, yeah.
Yeah, it is a mixed bag. The CPI came in under expectations with a rise of just 0.2%. The prediction was for 0.3%. Core prices were up 2.7% annualized. It's a significant drop from November, which was at 3.8% annualized. So that's good news. Excluding rents, core prices were up just 1.1% annualized. I think that's the real key to the report, is that outside of rent, prices are pretty stable. Rent increases have come down from 9% down in 2022 down to 3.4%. So they're still well above everything else, but they're way below where they were. And so the trend line is definitely in the right direction. And I think that's why we saw a positive reaction to that report.
As we've talked about before, rent is a lagging indicator. It takes some time because rents are generally set at least 1 year at a time. And it takes some time for renewals to come in with a different attitude than the ones that are in there now. So if you had an 8% or 9% increase last year, you're not going to get that when it renews.
There's another factor there, too, is that moving is expensive and it's a pain and people don't want to do it. So even if you're on a one-year lease and there's a better deal available, it may not be a better deal to you because it could cost $5,000 to move, negating any savings you might have from taking a lower priced place. So it's a really sticky part of inflation, and we're seeing that right now. While everything else is basically normalized, rents have not.
So,
while investors are souring on the market, small businesses are more optimistic than they have been since 2018. 6 months ago, they were at the extremely pessimistic side. And then the election flipped it right over, and now they're on the extreme side of optimism. Right now, it is just optimism. It has not turned into results, but it remains to be seen if that actually happens going forward. So,
in my humble opinion, that requires absolutely no explanation.
No, that's pretty clear. Yeah. And that report does lean Republican for sure.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it seems like there are just as many Democrats that own small businesses, but this report, when it comes out, you always see things that are heavily favored towards the Republican side.
I'll give you one very direct influence on it, that being the qualified business income. If the election went the other way, we were almost certain to have the 2017 tax cuts expire, which would mean to small businesses, they are going to have their taxes raised a lot.
Yeah. And the thing about that is if you're a C corp, you would then be paying way less in overall taxes than being organized as an LLC. And that doesn't make sense. C corps are more difficult to operate and more expensive in general. An LLC is a much simpler way to set up your company. And so giving a disincentive for all these people to go out and start LLCs is just, it's not a good idea at all.
No, and unfortunately for the world, half of the people in Congress don't have a clue what we just said.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Truly amazing.
We do have a phone call.
Already. Good morning, Bob.
Enjoying the new name and the same program. Hey.
Good. Yeah, we don't change much, really.
Nah.
Yeah. We're waiting for the snow to start flying out here on the farm. It's
Monday. You take a good look on Monday. Maybe
your skating pond will freeze over. Seeing lots of drones, big ones. And maybe they're seeding the clouds. I'm not sure what's going on. But Richard Nixon.
And why would you say Richard Nixon?
I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
You just like being right?
I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I didn't look it up. I just, fourth. I know Carter was one of the worst. So
yeah, you're right on in everything so far. Nixon at 5.7%. Biden's only fourth. The third one is Nixon, and JFK was the winner out of all those years at 1.1%.
Hmm. Yeah. That was that was what we call, formerly in the business that I was in, a swag.
Yes, it's called that in almost every business.
You know what? Yes. Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
and you can
right.
donate to your favorite charity or whatever the winnings, because I don't need it. I'm just happy to. I thought I was going to be bracketing it.
Well, you're making a killing anyway by selling eggs, aren't you?
Oh, Our eggs just keep going up, and now there's no, I don't know if you saw the news, but they announced that there's no transportation of poultry or eggs or anything poultry related between Georgia and the state of Florida or anywhere else.
Oh, really? So, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that came across the news feed. My wife, who's the research queen, as you know, said that she announced that last night, and I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have to charge maybe $100 an egg.
There you go.
$1,200 a dozen, and you know, that's I don't know if the market can beat that. I'm hoping you guys can beat that.
Oh,
you
we'll
know,
sell
I mean, but we're not going to throw you under the bus if you don't. You know,
I've got an anecdote for you out of real life.
Wait, hold on 1 second. I do have to tell you that your eggs are powering the show today. I had an egg sandwich before I left. It was so delicious.
Well, I'll be in Jacksonville Monday. In all this mess, I have my annual checkup. So. Yeah. I phoned our real estate person that we know, and because she always like, don't go by me without eggs. You know, we've got people from Marsh Landing calling us. You know, right. Marsh Landing is like they're thirsty for eggs. I don't know if they're drinking them or what the heck they're doing.
Well, that relates to my little anecdote. I was at the
ahead, but I'll be in Jacksonville Monday if you want me to stop by and say hi.
Well, we're closed Monday, unfortunately.
Oh, that's right. You know, it's the inauguration day and MLK Day.
We're closed for MLK Day, but it happens to coincide.
Yeah.
But I went to the local Publix, what we call the Marsh Landing Publix, which is on Marsh Landing Parkway, by the way. And I told Sarah when I got home, I walked past the egg department, and I have never seen you're going to be surprised. That's what happened last week. I walked past there yesterday morning. I have never seen so many eggs in one place in my life. There wasn't a cubic inch on that shelf that hadn't been packed full of eggs, including EBs and just brown ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where they're getting them, but it was a pleasant sight because it's been hit and miss for so long.
Oh, I know. Yeah, thank goodness there's no other food crisis going on right now.
There's a crisis for me and my ribeyes and stuff because for the last three or four years they're so expensive I refuse to buy them.
Well, I'm looking at six, and we're getting ready to AI our females, so I'm looking at a lot of hanging beef here potentially.
Well, we'll have to talk.
That's right.
I appreciate the call.
Enjoy the program. I didn't mean to mess up your trivia question. I really didn't look it up, but it was just a swag.
No, I was just wondering if people were thinking the right way. You hear about it lately, and you obviously were. You went right back to Carter to start the list. So I like
that. And as a school patrol when Kennedy was shot, I go back that far. So, you know, I was a school crossing guard in grade school.
Yeah.
So I've seen a few presidents. So.
Yep, me too. I wasn't a crossing guard, but I was in middle school at that
point. We sat outside for bond money during the rain during the Carter administration.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
That had to be the highest one, and then
you got all the memories I do. Yep.
Yeah.
None of them fond from back there. Take care of yourself.
All right, I'm tying you guys up too long. You guys take care and have a great be safe. Okay.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay.
Yeah, man, those were the days that back in real inflation days in Carter. These are the stories that parents like to tell their kids and grandkids. We always whine about the inflation rate and the mortgage rates and that stuff. And justifiably so.
Oh, man. People are whining right now about 7% interest. That was a bargain back in the day.
But they're starting to back off, according to the figures I was reading this morning.
Yeah,
they're getting a little more accepting on that range now, even though rates have risen since October. Mortgage applications and housing starts and all are also on the way up. So apparently the new normal.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Which is really the old normal.
Yeah, you just have to get used to it. I mean, it's not going to change based on you wanting it to change. You either accept it or you don't buy a house. That's really your only options right now.
And what did we learn in the last round of all of this? The most important lesson that society as a whole learned when everything started to fall apart like that and rates were crashing, is really easy to refinance.
Yep, that is true. And the other, if you think about it, the rates at this level make way more sense. If you're loaning someone money for 30 years, are you going to want to loan it at 2%? No, it doesn't make sense.
Count me out.
Yeah, 7% is a more reasonable return on a 30-year loan.
Marry the house, not the mortgage. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after a quick break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. So if you don't like the things we're talking about and you got a better idea, just pick up the phone and call. We'll put you through immediately and we'll talk about whatever it is that you would like to do. And we have topics galore. I see I'm getting a phone call from my wife, but she knows I can't take a phone call right now, so I'll take it at the next break. Let's see what's happening here. We have a story that I liked this morning. One of the first things I read. Excuse me, Adam, can you talk about something? I'm going to have to take this call.
Yep, go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to mention that retail sales report that came out this week, and they said it was weaker than expected. It came in at 0.4%. That's really a solid report, and that the expectation was for just way too high. So the 0.4% is in any other month would be a really solid report. And it showed 10 out of 13 sectors showing growth. Building materials showed the biggest drop, while bars and restaurants and health and personal care were the other two sectors that declined. Everything else was up, and the largest growth year over year has been in motor vehicles and parts dealers. And that's good news because the automotive industry was not doing real well a year ago. Right. So that's pretty solid.
Yeah. And nothing critical here, so if you're worried, don't be. Anyway, let's see, where was I headed? The story I read this morning, the one that caught my eye, was on the website Red State. And it said there are some fabulous pictures here of people leaving their offices for the last time. First one was Lloyd Austin. Second one was Merrick Garland. And the third one was Janet Yellen. So I had to peruse all of those. And then it wasn't an hour later, Sarah found the same thing and caught her eye too and told me about it, because these people have been so tedious to live with the last few years. And I don't know how many of you were watching the hearings from this week with the new people coming in. It's going to be such a pleasure to have these people in there who are competent and like-minded and right-minded and so on. So that's another reason I think you're going to see a very positive reaction from the market, because I think things are just generally speaking going to improve, get more rational, and on. So take heart, America. Good things are on the way, we believe. There's a lot of talk about TikTok in the last few days, and a lot of action. It rose all the way to the Supreme Court because Congress had mandated that TikTok either be sold or shut down in the U.S. because they take so much information from their users. And it was of concern to both sides of the aisle. And the law passed. And then a funny thing happened on the way to the 19th of January, when it was the deadline. And Trump got involved with it, and it was very effective. We know that there are about 170 million Americans on it, and to turn that off would be a very unpopular thing among at least 170 million Americans and probably more. So they're trying to find a way to work it out. There are a couple offers. Kevin O'Leary's got one group, and Ramaswamy's talking, or Musk is talking about it, I mean, and that sort of thing. So it was going to, Trump petitioned the court to delay that decision because the decision was going to be effective tomorrow, and Trump didn't have a chance to do anything till Monday. And the Supreme Court said no to the delay. it's going to shut down as usual. So now there's some emergency petitions flying around and so on. But for those of you who use TikTok, what the best information I've been able to find is that you can keep using it, but you can't get anything really new on it, anything that travels to and from other countries. I'm not sure how true that is, because I'm really not sure how that platform works. I'm not on any social media personally, but I think there's good reason to believe that there'll be a solution that will work for everybody and it will be saved. I don't even think they'll change the name, but they'll get the Communist Chinese out of it. And I noticed also that Trump's been talking to Xi Jinping, and although he's not coming to the inauguration, his vice president is. So that might be a little thaw in the relations about this too. And I saw the CEO on TV yesterday, and he's talking a good game. I don't trust him.
No, I don't trust him either. It's unfortunate because it is a very popular, really popular site. And I think that, regardless of whether you love it or hate it, it obviously is used by tons of Americans. And there's got to be a better solution than just shutting it down.
My biggest complaint with this whole thing is that we've known this for a long time and we did nothing about it.
For sure.
So, and that's typical of the government, isn't it? You give them a problem and they sit on their hands until somebody else can deal with it. It's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Congress has one job and one job only: get themselves reelected. And that, hopefully, will start to change. One more little tidbit on the news front that's changing on Monday. Biden now just gave amnesty to another 2,500 people who had drug charges. As they say, nonviolent drug charges, which may or may not be true, because people who sell drugs don't have to kill somebody themselves. They just wait for their products to do it. So that the whole term nonviolent, I'm not too sure of. He also took another $150 million or whatever it was, dollars off of the IOUs for people who went to colleges and took out voluntary loans. These things have got to be reined in. If we're going to get this budget under control at all, which is what Doge brothers are trying to do, we got to start by not giving things away. And then, of course, we talked last week about the new Social Security thing, where they eliminated the Anti-Windfall Act on Social Security, which is costing the system another $200 billion. You can't spend your way out of debt. I don't know how many times and how many ways you can possibly do this. But I saved the granddaddy until right now. You ready for this one? The, I don't know what it is. His name, he's called the Green Loan Czar. His name is Jigar Shah, I believe. He finalized a $1.6 billion loan to a company called Plug Power. That is a company that Shah himself invested in shortly before he joined the administration. A, that's bad. That's conflict of interest, mm-hmm. right? But two, they had already been shut down from these loans. The Department of Energy in general has been shut down from making these loans. And he violated that. Now, I can't count the number of ways that things have to change up there, and I can only hope that they do. All right, I've complained about enough. Well, no, maybe there's one more. How many of you ever paid off your credit card and then got a bill afterwards? You ever hear about that?
No.
The question from someone in an article I was reading: I was able to pay off one of my credit cards. I was so proud of myself until I got a bill the next month for $63 in interest. When I called, they told me it was residual interest. And she said, well, I paid it off. And they said, no, that's not how interest on credit cards works. Interest on credit cards is compounded daily. So let's say on the first of the month, they send you a bill for, I don't know, $5,000, whatever it is, and it is due on the last day of the month. So you go, goody, goody, I can do it now. I've had a good month or whatever it was. And long about the 25th or 26th or something like that, you send them the entire payment, close it out down to zero, and you pat yourself on the back. And then you get a bill for about, in my example, 90% as much interest as you got the bill for last time, because that payoff, and hence the zero interest, didn't happen until they received the payment. Every day before that, interest accrued on that whole balance and was compounded to the last day. It is called residual interest, and it's perfectly legal, and it is exactly the system that they use. So if you want to take away from all of this, be very careful when it comes to paying off a credit card. Do it as soon as you get the bill, or expect something like that. But the right way to handle a credit card is to use it as what we call a charge card, mm-hmm. meaning you pay off the balance every month.
Yeah, and the great thing about that is that you do get that sort of free month of float where mm-hmm. you're making charges, they're paying it. Yeah. It goes on your card, racks up a balance, and there's no interest accumulated. Yeah,
you've actually reversed the polarity of the winners and losers.
You're actually getting the better deal because your money is sitting in your savings account, hopefully, gathering interest. And then when you go to pay the bill, they have basically eaten all the interest charges for you.
Mm-hmm. And you know what you deserve for that, or what you get from them, whether you deserve it or not?
Get labeled as a terrible customer.
A deadbeat.
Mm-hmm.
A deadbeat is a person who pays off their credit cards. Now, all I can say is sign me up for the deadbeat status.
I qualify as that status please. As well.
But if that ever happens to you, now you know why. And it can't be a lot of fun to open up a credit card bill or get it in the mail and you say, my gosh, why? But now you know. It's legal. It isn't worth complaining. You just do it. All right, we got a bunch more fun little things coming up after the last break here, so don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a question that I will ask. It is not the trivia question, so you can't win anything on it. But I wonder if any of you know what percentage of trading days occur over time in a bull market versus in a bear market.
Hmm.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, it's pretty high. I'm not sure mm-hmm. exactly, but you're more often in a bull market than a bear market.
Yeah, it leads to the old saying that the market climbs the stairs up and takes the elevator down.
For sure.
Because you know over time what can happen just like that. I'll let anybody guess, but if you look it up, you'll be surprised. All right, let's talk about jobs and numbers and such. How many times do we say, I don't trust the jobs numbers, the government reports?
Yeah, and it's not a political thing. I mean, nope. I just don't trust that they get it right. And there's always so much disparity between the private payrolls and the mm-hmm. jobs report. And it just makes you wonder how accurate they really are.
I found a pretty reasonable explanation for all of that. Apparently, the BLS and the BEA, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the people who produce statistics that are used by governments and private companies and so on, they have not changed their ways since the 80s.
Shocking.
They make all of their solicitations, because they survey by phone. Everything's on a landline.
Of course.
Of course. Because... Yeah. Because it's government, I guess.
Who here among us still has a landline? And if you do have one, I would venture to guess it's not your primary phone.
Probably right. So what are the consequences of being stuck in the last century? Well, in the 2008 financial crisis, as the economy nosedived, the Federal Reserve hesitated to cut rates aggressively because it believed the contraction was mild. Why? Because the Bureau of Economic Analysis initially reported a GDP decline of only 3.8%. Okay,
mm-hmm.
not that bad. But in 2011, the BEA corrected that figure.
Down to what?
11.9%.
That is a staggering miss. What is that, 300% more? Yeah.
Can you see a policy difference if you're making long-term decisions between an economy contracting 3.8% and 11.9%?
Yeah, a little bit different reaction.
Yeah. So the damage, of course, was done, and houses and jobs and savings and how many things were wiped out because of that. And it was largely because they were relying on unreliable data. It isn't much different than the decades and decades of stories about the air traffic controllers who were the last people on Earth using vacuum tubes when everybody else was upgrading to digital. You know, we've got some big problems when we're spending a couple trillion more than we're taking in and we're not improving the right things. So I really have a lot of hope going for the Doge boys, and I sure hope they don't let me down. And, of course, speaking of the same thing with the statistics, you remember the 818,000 jobs that disappeared because they were in error. Just that was just last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another group that was written off, too. I don't remember the exact number. But it's staggering what is happening that we feel uncomfortable with good reason. So there's got to be somebody in there who understands how to change this. I guess I'm kind of on the topic today of change is coming, and it better come fast, and it better be big. It's that kind of thing we can't live with. All right, how about this one? Who out there is trying to get a better credit score? Almost everybody, right? If you have something on your credit score that's really holding it down, and say you're only in the 500s or low sixes or something like that, and it's because of something that happened to you or something you forgot or did wrong, or you know, the various and sundry things people do that can cause problems, did you know that you can write a letter to those credit agencies, reporting agencies, called a goodwill letter. And you write it to them direct and say, I did this wrong and I'm very sorry. Here's what I'm doing to correct it. And I'd like some consideration on my credit score. And they will sometimes listen to you.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, who knew that? You think you're at the complete mercy of all this? But here's what you tell them. The account number for the loan, whatever it was that was there, your name and address and phone number, statements showing proof that you are now paid up if it's a late payment, documentation showing you paid on time at all other points, identifying documentation so your service knows you sent the request, and you don't have to include anything else, but make sure you got everything going together and send it by certified mail so they get it and have to acknowledge the receipt. And you might just find that your credit score improves in a very short order. So don't ever feel helpless. See, I'm getting more optimistic, aren't I?
Yeah, that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Next on the line, your Social Security number has probably been leaked to the bad guys. I don't care who you are. There's just a really, really good chance of it because of all the stuff that's gone on. You can do yourself a little bit better to safeguard your Social Security number. There is a free service in the government called Self-Lock. The tools prevent your Social Security number from being used for unauthorized employment verification. This is where it comes in for most people. You can request a block by calling the Social Security Administration. Warning, expect a long hold when you call them. But if you are interested in whether or not you, like, for instance, if you've had some notification that something went wrong, you can call the Social Security number and ask them for the free self-lock feature, and that will protect you from other people sneaking in on it. While you're there and dealing with government agencies, if you haven't already, call the IRS and get an IRS PIN number. That way, no one can file anything under your name and Social Security number unless they happen to know your PIN, and they won't if you get it and protect it yourself. Yeah, things are becoming more and more online, more and more transparent, easy to get. The data miners are everywhere. you have to find everything you can that will help you stay private. And also remember that there are four credit reporting agencies, not just three. Got to find, I don't know if I have it in my notes what the fourth one is, but look it up. There's a smaller credit reporting agency that you also should cover, because people, the bad guys, know about it, and they can kind of go around from one to the other to the other. And if you think you got all three covered, you may not. Nobody will take care of you like you do. Also, we didn't mention in the market wrap, but the earnings season has started. And as always, the early reporters are banks. And man, are they cleaning up. J.P. Yeah. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, people like that, just knocking the socks off every estimate. Well, how do you suppose they're making all that money? Not by giving you the best deal, that's for sure. Like most people, I say, limit your banking in the big banks to what's necessary, perhaps checking, perhaps a mortgage. But look into credit unions for that kind of thing. You'll get a much better rate on your checking and savings. They're a lot harder to hack because people don't spend as much time doing it. So I can't tell you that nothing will go wrong, but protect yourself as best you can. And a lot of that involves getting out of the big banks that are just terrible with protecting their customers, and they're excellent at making money. So if you want to deal with a bank, I deal with it by buying their shares. Lately, that's the only way you seem to be able to win. Just my thought. I don't like them. Most people don't. And it's not that I haven't had a credit union problem either. We had an ex-employee of a credit union try to tamper with our line of credit that didn't have anything on it at the time, but it was available out there, because I always say have more credit available than you ever believe you'll use, because it's very important. When you need it, they won't give you any money. So somebody tried to hack ours for a lot of money. And to the credit of the credit union, they called us and said, we want to talk about this big check you wrote. And I said, I haven't written any big checks. So they chased it down for us. We told them exactly what happened. It was no problem whatsoever. They cleared it all up. Last I heard, they had found the guilty party. I believe it was up in North Carolina. And he was no longer enjoying the good life of freedom and fresh air.
Yeah, stealing several hundred thousand will do that.
Yeah, it does. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Let's see. Another happy note, since this is the week when Trump was on everybody's mind. CBS looks like they're going to settle a lawsuit with Trump personally. He sued him for $10 billion. And he's basically just winning. So what's happening there is that they're going to talk to him in the background, and he's got two of them going on. And anything he wins, he's putting into his library fund. So I think Trump's library is going to be well-funded and probably really cool. And then people know probably about Zachary Young, who is the Florida guy, was besmirched by CBS or CNN in this case. He just won too. So you can fight City Hall, folks. You got to know how to do it, but stick to it. All right, it's going to be a fascinating day on Monday. We hope nothing goes wrong, and we'll be back next Saturday, the same time, same place, and hopefully having a really good time. So enjoy the week, and we'll see you then. This is the Banway Financial Hour.